Dal professor Richeri passiamo adesso al secondo oratore, che è il professor Uwe Hasenbrink, che è presidente del consiglio direttivo dell'Istituto per la ricerca sui media dell'Università di Amburgo, Hans Bredow. Professor Hasenbrink.
Thank you very much, and sorry for leaving the floor before taking the floor. I take some distance because I think due to the interlingual exercise we are doing today, it's better to support my presentation with a PowerPoint presentation. Thank you very much for the organizers for inviting me to this meeting. I feel particularly emotional about this, because it was now about 15 years ago that I was traveling throughout Europe talking to people from many broadcasters in Europe, educational broadcasters in Europe, and trying to find a way to create a European educational television. As you all know, our project was not too successful. There is no European educational television in this sense. The same accident happened to another project I did together with Paolo Baldi, for example, and others, also from Italy, where we tried to create something which is still existing but not very active, a European Association for Viewers' Interest. Because our impression was we cannot have a European European television without European audiences and European viewers. But this is just a personal introductory remark. We have got 20 minutes to ask, we were asked to answer this main question: is a European public service television possible? And we were also asked to give a short insight in current developments of our national public broadcasting systems. To do this in 20 minutes, you will believe, is frankly impossible. So I have to be really focused and try to focus some main ideas. One solution for this effort would be to have a short version of my presentation. Is building a European public service television possible? The answer is no. End of the presentation. But I promise I do another version of the presentation, and the outcome of it will be, but there could be something even better. Let me try to say this. The longer version. The question raised by the title of the conference is highly ambitious and, as I think, full of implicit premises. Therefore, I would like to deconstruct this question in order to make it both more realistic and at the same time more, even more visionary. That's my hope, at least. So we have this question, and I start from the end of this question. We have asked, is European public service television possible? Is something possible? This question seems to be, to my impression, a little bit premature, because there is the implicit premise that a European public service television is something good. How do we know? It seems to be more important to ask, or there is a priority to ask, whether or in which respect a European public service television is necessary or at least desirable, and to ask who actually wants it and what for. Here again, we have to keep in mind, what about the audiences? The big problem, next to financial problems, has been for all these efforts that the audience does not seem to be highly interested in European kind of content. Possible arguments for this question, why do we need it, would be, obviously we have heard about it in the former interventions, strengthening a European identity, building a transnational public sphere as a democratic counterpart to EU politics. For my position, I would like to add, the reason why we need it is not that the European Commission needs a good instrument for proposing its politics. That is something different. That is something that has to do with public relations and not with public service television in Europe. Relevant concerns in this respect are, whereas academics and politicians, at least some politicians, are quite sure that we need this kind of television for Europe, the audiences do not seem to be particularly keen on European content. I will come back to that. Let's come back to our question. Let's come to the next concept in the question. That's television. Why do we speak of television? Do we really mean television when we ask this topic? In face of converging media environments, one might ask whether we can still focus on this. There are some doubts. Is television still an appropriate instrument to reach all parts of the society, particularly, as we know, the younger parts of society? Next point, recent experiences, for example, with election campaigns, indicate that digital interactive media are gaining considerable influence on agenda setting and opinion building processes. So television broadcasters themselves are not just broadcasters anymore. They develop integrated cross-media concept, with television being just one part of these integrated strategies. And I would like to talk about public service media, television as an integral part and not as something distinct from cross-media strategies. Now let's come to the point I would like to stress, go into a little bit detail for the German situation. This is the next concept, public service. Why do we think that public service media are particularly suited as instrument for European communication? There are some current challenges which raise some doubts. I can make this short because all of our intervention and the abstract show a similar kind of list of problems, which is an unclear status of license fees and public funding. There is an unclear remit with regard to new digital public service media. There are ongoing risks, at least in some countries, to become subject of political and governmental influence. There's decreasing acceptance among younger audiences. There are still deep roots within national or even regional cultural and political contexts which make it difficult for public broadcasters to go beyond the next level, to go to the next level of a European level. And obviously there's strong competition with commercial global players. Now I will go to the recent German development in this aspect. What is the situation of public service broadcasting? Compared to other European countries, the situation, my impression is still relatively comfortable. It's a good situation. There is a well-established license fee which covers more than 90% of the budget, and additional advertising sponsoring income is possible, also not that important. There's a relatively high degree of autonomy from the state and political parties. There's a broad range of channels, even with thematic channels like the children's channel Kika or a documentary channel like Phoenix or like the French-German cooperation like Arte. And in spite of a highly competitive environment, public service channels have an average audience share of about 40%. So that's not bad. We have to don't really have to go in the very existential debate whether public service in broadcasting in Germany might be marginalized. It is not today. However, I would like to focus on one specific point which has much to do with the European level. There are serious challenges, and one of them became particularly famous on the European level, which is the German state aid case. We have raised this topic before. The background, very short. In 2003, the Association of Private Broadcasting Companies in Germany submitted a complaint to the Commission stating that the license fees constitute state aid. It was argued that the compensation and financial assistance granted to the public broadcaster exceeds what is necessary to fulfill the public service obligation properly, and that the system of public financing distorts competition with respect to new online contents. After an examination of the German license fee, the Commission regarded these fees as state aid according to Article 87 of the EC Treaty. On the basis of this interpretation, such a financing regime must comply with the requirement of Article 86, which means a clear remit must exist. Let's come to this challenge, defining the public service remit with regard to online services. Given the dynamic nature of the emerging digital media, there is no chance, as I see it, to define the public service remit by explicitly prescribing which online services public broadcasters may offer or must not offer. In addition, according to the constitutional basis of the German public broadcasting system, the state must not intervene in concrete editorial and organizational decisions of public broadcasting. Thus, the definition of the public service remit needs an appropriate procedure, which follows the general principles of regulated self-regulation, or in the Anglo-Saxon area, it's rather named co-regulation. Public service media have to develop their objectives as well as criteria how to assess their success in meeting these objectives by a continuous, deliberative process with relevant stakeholders. They have to legitimize themselves. They have to create the links to society which supports and finances them. That is the main issue. So following these principles, the contradicting views of the European Commission on the one hand and Germany on the other hand were solved by a compromise. The nice German word is Beihilfekompromiss, in 2007. The compromise stipulates that from now on, public service broadcasting corporations are obliged to carry out a so-called three-step test for each new online service. According to the new interstate treaty, broadcasters have to examine the following for each service they would like to implement. First, whether it is part of the public service mission and thus corresponds with the democratic, social, and cultural needs of the society. This is, as you might see, not at all trivial, but they have to provide serious arguments why a new service actually contributes to public communication and to the public service remit. Second, this is the most debated step, the second one, whether it contributes in a qualitative way to editorial competition. This is the economic part. This is the financial part where scientific expertise has to be to get into the system, which says, would this particular service hurt or be of a would be a disadvantage for commercial and private competitors? The final decision, and that is important for the whole understanding of the whole system, the final decision has to be made by the pluralistic bodies which supervise the German public broadcasters. On the basis of intense public discussion, hearings of the relevant stakeholders, particularly commercial media companies, and scientific expertise on the market-related consequences of the respective service. So this is a short insight of what is the current debate in Germany is about. You can imagine that this maybe very smart procedure which is now the first time exercised causes lots of debate because none of these concepts is trivial. What is a new service? How to divide them up? Is this just the ARD online service, or has it been to be subdivided into particular in ARD online sports, ARD online news, ARD online archive for documentaries, for example? This cannot be taken for granted. This is a lively debate in these days. Given the time, I will leave it with that and come to the next concept in our question, European public service television content. There are three principal approaches to European media and public spheres, and I would like to refer to. I can just do it in a short way. We can think of European in terms of a pan-European approach for all Europeans. This is the old idea of having Europa TV for all Europeans, the general channel for everybody. The second concept is to have specialized services for segmented transnational audiences. That takes up the phenomenon that although we all agree that there is nothing like a general European public spheres, there are many segmented spheres where the boundaries between different countries do not matter anymore. For example, the scientific community, some political areas, some areas of expertise where the country doesn't matter. It's just a transnational public sphere, and one could provide media offers for them. The third concept is European media means the Europeanization of national or regional media. Starting from where the media, public service medias are today, they have national audience or regional audiences, and providing them content which relates them to Europe, not being pan-European, but Europeanized national and regional content. We have to consider, I just would like it very concrete, and it has been mentioned before, one aspect. We have to consider that European societies are increasingly multicultural and that European developed multi-layered identities. The example in Germany would be, imagine the case of a Turkish migrant living in Germany, being a football fan and working in the international bank business. He would use media on different levels, Turkish language channels, in this case these would be called diaspora channels, UEFA Champions League on Eurosport as a European level, the news on ARD and ZDF on the national level because has to know what is going on in Germany, in his new country, and in local TV stations in order to know what about my immediate environment, and business reports on CNN and Bloomberg Global. Which one of these is the European television? This is television in Europe, how Europeans make use of it. And we have to have this kind of repertoire. Last slide.
15 minutes.
Last slide. Perfect. There's a small single word, a European public television possible. My last remarks would like to stress the following. Instead of one European public service television, my vision is as follows. A multitude of ambitious approaches to providing the best possible communication services on all levels, local, regional, national, European, global, and for different languages, cultures, and thematic interests. A strengthening of networking and cooperation structures which link the different cultural or thematic communities. The idea which has been mentioned by Giuseppe Riccheri with this kind of agency is going to this direction. We maybe do not necessarily need big organizations and broadcasters, but agencies who can help to exchange and to collaborate and to co-produce. These flexible networks will replace the concept of one channel for one audience, which dominated the earlier vision of European television, and given sufficient will and efforts from broadcasters, politicians, and particularly the civil society, which is a crucial player in this respect, I would say, they will be more successful in furthering European cultural identities and public spheres than we have seen before. Thank you very much.
Grazie molto al professor Hasenbrink, che è partito nel suo intervento direi da uno scetticismo informato, sia sul concetto di scetticismo informato e fondato, sia sul concetto di servizio pubblico che sul concetto o sull'idea di Europa, ma poi attraverso l'esempio di quanto sta avvenendo in Germania ci ha condotto a una proposta di servizio pubblico europeo molto più articolata e molto più ricca e anche ottimista di quella che l'avvio del suo intervento sembrava suggerire.